I'm Yona Stamatis, Assistant Professor of Ethnomusicology at the University of Illinois Springfield and host of the WUIS Special Arts Broadcast. I'm here in the studio with Judy Carmichael, Grammy-nominated jazz pianist and vocalist and host of the popular American Public Radio show, Jazz Inspired. What a treat to have you in the studio. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Count Basie nicknamed you Stride for your unbelievable skills as a stride pianist, an incredibly physically demanding form of jazz piano. Tell us a little bit about being a white woman.
I know, in jazz.
And jazz, and especially as a stride pianist, that's quite unusual. Is that still unusual today? Do you face a gender gap?
It's less unusual. It was very unusual when I started. One of my first jobs was playing piano at Disneyland, and Disney had never hired a woman instrumentalist. There wasn't
wow.
a dressing room
oh my
for
goodness.
Women. I was in a dressing room with 10 men.
Fun.
Yeah, that was fun. And it was so normal that I didn't even think about it after a while. Every festival I did, I was the only woman. There would be women singers, but they were much older than I. And everything I did, I was never on stage with another woman. I wasn't accompanying singers, so there wouldn't be a woman on stage. And I found that one of the things I loved about jazz was you either played or you didn't. So people treated you with respect if you played well and took you seriously. And so I was accepted in that way, but very often wasn't until I played. There was a lot of prejudice when people met me because they were meeting this thin, white, blonde...
From California.
California girl, right. And stride piano, for those who don't know what it is, was associated with big, fat, black men. Very strong, Thomas Fats Waller, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, all these people that were of that look. So I was a shock for the jazz world. But less so now because there's a whole generation of people who know my music, who associate stride with me, so they think it's only played by skinny white girls from California, which is funny. And more people are integrating that into their music, which is nice. It isn't as rare. I know pianists younger than I who will integrate the stride vocabulary into their playing, although I'm still probably the only one who really specializes in it exclusively.
You know, you reminded me of something that Marion McPartland once said about her. Well, in general, you remind me of her quite a bit, but that, you know, as she was beginning as a jazz pianist, she was accepted once she could play well. Once she proved herself, people would say, you know, you play like a man, in
right.
a sense. Is she somebody that has served as a role model for you in any way? It seems like you're continuing her tradition, both as a jazz pianist, but also as a host of your wonderful radio show. Is she somebody who has served for you as a particular role model?
I admired Marion because she kept doing it forever.
Yes.
How old was she? 96 when she died?
Yes.
And I admired that. I admired her straightforward attitude to just keep doing it, not complain about it, just straightforward. She was very tough. I did her show early in my career, and she did mine late in hers, which was fun. And our shows were very different because she, of course, was playing piano, and the guest was usually playing piano. But I greatly admired her, mainly her attitude, I have to say. She didn't feel that it was hard for her as a woman. And in a way, oddly or ironically, it wasn't in certain ways as hard earlier because jazz was the popular music. So you had people like Hazel Scott, Marion McPartland. She was married to a jazz musician, which she felt gave her some entree. It wasn't as unusual in a way. So she thought I had challenges that she didn't have.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah, because I asked her the same question because I so seldom have a woman that I can say that to, a woman jazz musician.
Right.
She didn't see it as a disadvantage. The one thing that she did say that was exactly the same as it was for me is that it was easier to be the leader than to have men hire you as a side man. Because there are things, if you have a bunch of sidemen when you're in your 20s, and the men can share a room, you can't. The men are comfortable with other men. They think of men first to hire. It was different that way. So she early on thought, I'm going to be a leader, and it was the same for me.
That's really interesting. Is that now a bit different now that you're a vocalist as well? Because that's sort of a more expected role, in a sense, in jazz for females.
It's really interesting you say it, because it's been hard for me to say that I sing, because like most jazz instrumentalists, I'm hugely prejudiced against singers because there's so many bad singers. You know all the singer jokes. Why do you not have a singer as a roommate? Because they always come in late and forget their key. That epitomizes the jazz instrumentalist attitude. And you can make a better living as a bad singer than you can as the greatest instrumentalist.
Really?
I mean, these are just things that we all know because people like singers. And you can have terrible intonation and get away with it. There's lots of things you can do. So I went through years of people assuming I was a singer because I'm a woman who plays piano. So I have years of going, no, I play piano. And it actually happened to me that I was standing with one of my musicians and someone said, oh, you're the singer. And I said, no. And one of them said, well, yes, actually you are. Make me an offer I can't refuse. Honey, I'm jaded, I paid my dues. Give me thoughts that don't result from too much booze. Don't be the man I want to lose. Don't say my eyes are a gorgeous green. You are my prince and that I'm your queen. Make it something new, a move I haven't seen. Be Daniel Craig, not Mr. Bean. I want romance that makes me swoon, that can take me away. Be original, do it soon. Say the word so without delay. I'll drift on your charms like a lovely cruise. Warm in your arms, I'll give up my blues. Then at last I'll finally hear some welcome news, an offer that I can't refuse. It hasn't changed in terms of a huge career change. It's still such a surprise to people. Most people don't know I sing, so it's a new thing. The big surprise to me is that I can do it after years of vocal cord issues, and that I love it so much. I love it. So now I actually am more sympathetic to singers.
You have such a beautiful vocal timbre. It's,
thank you.
Absolutely fit for the genres that you, perform.
You.
Tell us about your CD, Can You Love Once More? Not only are you vocalist, but you also wrote the lyrics.
It's very exciting. I would say that the biggest surprise and excitement of my life so far is that I've been the most creative I've ever been in the last 5 years, ever. I'm more excited about music than I was even in the beginning, which is really unusual for an artist, and it's fantastic. I hadn't thought about writing lyrics because I wasn't singing. I think that was a big part of it. And because my musical focus is fairly narrow, I had always played stride. That was another reason I really hadn't thought about it. And then Harry Allen, the great saxophonist, has a much broader musical palette, and he's my regular saxophonist. And one day he said, have you ever thought about lyric writing? And I hadn't, and said I was willing to try it, and wound up we love writing together. I love writing lyrics. And so we made this CD, which is incredible because it's all originals, and that sort of happened very fast.
And something that I didn't expect while listening to some of the songs, some of them are incredibly funny. You're very funny.
Oh, well, thank you.
Take me back to Machu Picchu.
Yes, I love that too. That
hilarious.
Was very, thank you. Thank
Fantastic.
You very much. Well, I originally wanted to go into musical comedy. That was my dream when I was a child, and I did some theater. And I had all these vocal cord problems. And so I thought, well, that's not going to be for me because I can't sing. So it really has come full circle. And I've realized while I was writing that I'm picturing an actor on stage singing these, a character on stage. I'm not picturing a jazz musician. So after we wrote this, I realized that I had a concept for a musical, so I'm now writing a musical.
Fantastic.
Yes, this is the first place I've announced it. You heard it here in Springfield.
Can we hear any details, or is it too
soon?
Well,
no, it's written around a lot of those songs.
Oh.
So the songs that are on the CD, many of them will be in the musical, and Harry's doing the music. I've written a couple of the songs, the music and the vocal and the lyric, and I'm working on it with an old friend of mine, Ken Page, and some of your listeners will know that name. He was in Ain't Misbehavin', the original Broadway musical. He was the original Deuteronomy in Cats. He's a great, great Broadway performer. And one of the reasons that I did the concert in St. Louis was to see Ken, which is where he lives, so we could talk about this musical. So he'll be writing the book with me.
That's really, really exciting.
It's really exciting.
Is there a projected date, a few years?
Oh, as soon as we can do it. Yes. Yeah, these things take a while, but I'm very excited about it.
Tell me a bit also about your jazz-inspired, this radio show that is focused around jazz but includes so many people from so many diverse artistic backgrounds, centered around the theme of jazz, but also on the theme of these incredibly talented and creative people. What is the organizational idea behind this show?
Mm. It's a good question. I'd done so much radio, and people kept saying that they liked my radio voice, so that got me thinking this direction. And then actually Marion McPartland's producer, when I did Marion's show, said, you should have your own show. And that was that original inspiration for that.
That's quite some inspiration.
It was really inspiring. And so I started thinking about it and wanted to do something very different, obviously, for Marion's show. And a lot of American media is about promoting something. And I wanted something that was very different. I wanted to talk to artists about artists and scientists, anybody creative, about the creative process. I think everybody should be creative. I was hoping to inspire listeners to be creative, but also inspire them to love jazz the way we do. Because I hate to say this on radio, but most people hate jazz. They think they hate jazz. And often I have people after concerts say, I hate jazz, but I love you. Or I had a guy who's a heavy metal fan who came to a concert because his wife dragged him and then he loved it. But I have other jazz musicians tell me this, that people tell them that. So that was my original thought. How can I have an interview that comes at it a different way? If I talk to Seth MacFarlane and don't just say, tell me about Family Guy, but tell me why Family Guy has a huge musical element. Or if I can talk to Neil deGrasse Tyson about the connection of math and astrophysics and music, that would be interesting. And I might bring in some listeners who are a fan of Billy Joel and think, well, if Billy Joel likes jazz, maybe I'll give it a try. So that was my original thinking. I also thought people would talk very differently on radio if I came at it differently. Like Roy Scheider thanked me for not asking about Jaws, you know? And why would I want to talk about Jaws? You've talked about it to death. And he got very emotional. There's an example. He wanted to listen to music before we started, which I've never had happen. He said, aren't we going to listen to something? It was a very actorly process. So I said, what do you want to listen to? We listened to Louis Armstrong. And then he said, I'm ready. Are you ready? I said, yes. And it was an entirely different interview because we listened to music first. So I learn a lot talking to they're great people. They're just incredibly inspiring. And I also wanted to give a chance to a lot of people who I knew would never get an hour on public radio because I know they're great and they're famous within our small world of jazz, but they're not Beyoncé. So it gives them a chance.
I'm so interested in what you mentioned earlier, the fact that so many people assume that they don't enjoy jazz. What do you think it is about jazz? Does it require perhaps a certain amount of knowledge before you listen? Is it a particular way of thinking, of understanding the creative process of you have a tune that already exists, but you're improvising on it? How would you describe, it's such an interesting phenomenon because not enjoying jazz but enjoying you.
And why is that?
Why is that? What is it about jazz?
I think that jazz is a sophisticated art form And like any sophisticated art form, it's enjoyed more with repeated exposure. I think that people are impatient. They want it to hit them right away. I don't think that our culture encourages that kind of sophisticated appreciation of art. And if they're not exposed to it, there's very little, they don't get a chance to like it. Jazz is something that you have to be, you're usually introduced from, you have a matchmaker. Everybody talks about their uncle, their aunt,
their
first person. There's somebody who took them to hear their first jazz. And I think there's a place in a life to have that quick fix. I think of People magazine. You get to look at pretty people and feel good, or junk food. It's great to have an ice cream cone, but you can't make a steady diet of it. It isn't going to enhance you or make you smarter. And I think of jazz and great literature. Might be a little harder in the beginning to pick it up, but with repeated listenings or repeated reading, you get the depth of this. You do get smarter. Your life is enhanced. And I think that with my performances, I tell funny stories around it. I make it very accessible. In fact, I talked to Neil deGrasse Tyson about this because he wants to make astrophysics accessible.
Right.
So we talked about how we both do it. And we did it a similar way. We both keep up with pop culture to a certain extent, so we can use that vernacular, but to bring people in and say, actually, this is interesting. Give it a chance. Don't be afraid.
That's something I respect about your work so much, because you really work in so many different mediums. So you are writing books. You're singing, playing piano. You have a radio show. You speak during your performances. I mean,
Well, thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Well, I'm a real advocate for the arts. I think they make your life better. That's the bottom line. They really, in being open to things creative, being creative yourself, enhances your life. And I don't know that everyone knows that. So it's up to us, the people that can articulate that thought, to bring them into this world that we know is really wonderful.
And I think it's also teaching people to understand that everybody is creative in some way. We often have this idea that certain people are born with, you know, this Western concept of talent, whatever that means. And if either you've got it or you don't. So if you don't have it, you sort of sit back and let others take hold.
No, I agree with you completely. I think that's just not true at all. All you have to do is watch children to see how creative everyone is. It can be beaten out of you.
Right.
But everybody's born creative, or we wouldn't survive. So it's just getting back to that spot.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a wonderfully interesting conversation. Best of luck on your tour.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be my relatives. I have to give a shout out because I'm here and my folks grew up in Springfield. So I'm glad to be here. So thank you
for
having me.
What a tiny world.
I know. And thank you for airing the show. Really great to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We were joined today by Judy Carmichael, jazz pianist and vocalist and host of the public radio show Jazz Inspired. Her CD, Can You Love Once More, features Carmichael singing a selection of newly composed jazz songs by Harry Allen with lyrics by Carmichael. Songs range from the humorous Take Me Back to Machu Picchu to the melancholic Make Me an Offer I Can't Refuse. The CD is available through her website, judycarmichael.com. I'm Yona Stamatis. Thanks for listening.
You run and hide now and can't decide if these are feelings to cast aside. Can you love once more and know a love that's true and meant for you? You're locked in sorrow and feel to blame.
Be sure and join Judy and us for Jazz Inspired here on 91.9 FM every Saturday night at 11 o'clock.
Can your heart break free to see? Oh,